All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. It is the 25th day of January, 2023. I do want to thank you for joining me today and at this new forum, Jay Taylor Media, as well as Jay Taylor Media YouTube. Our sponsor for today's show is Klondike Gold, and I'm happy to tell you that Peter Talman, the president and CEO of the company, is with me right now, and we'll be hearing from him in just a moment or so. Peter is certainly well known to my radio show listeners from the past. We have told the story, but haven't had him on for quite some time now. And it's really good to have him because they had a pretty eventful year last year. And we'll hear about that in a moment. Klondike, of course, is exploring the great Klondike placer, the origin of the placer gold rush that occurred in the late 1800s. Some really good things happening. I think it has multi-million ounce potential, and that's why, even though it's an 8 cent stock at the moment in U.S. money, I think it's well worth taking the time to hear what Peter has to tell us. I've titled today's show, "What About the Dollar Milkshake Theory?" Well, there's this notion that as long as there's trouble in the world, the dollar will keep getting stronger because everybody goes to the dollar when there's trouble, right? They have to sell, they have to go out and buy dollars to pay their dollar debts. And when you have tight money conditions and recessions, people have to, the margin clerk calls and they have to pay their debts. So they go out and buy dollars and the dollar gets stronger. Well, there's certainly some validity to that. But there's other people like John Rubino, people that don't agree with that. And John Rubino will join me to talk about the dollar milkshake theory and where he thinks maybe it's not as valid as some other people think it is. So John will be with me a little bit later, but right now I'm really happy to tell you that Peter Talman, the president and CEO of Klondike Gold, is with me once again. Before I say hello to Peter, I should tell you that the stock trades in Canada under the symbol KG. It trades in the States. You can buy it down here as I have under the symbol KDKGF. 152 million shares outstanding, 8 cents a share, $12 million market cap in U.S. money. I think you might want to pay some attention. Thanks for joining me, Peter.
Jay, it's a pleasure, and I'm glad you invited me on your inaugural very first podcast. It's a pleasure to be here for this.
Yes, you're my happy guinea pig. Thank you. Thank you for offering to take me up on this. It is we are working on it. I think it's going to be good. This is a first trial run, so I undoubtedly will make it better as time goes on. Yeah, this year 2022 was quite good. I should say 2022. We're in 2023 now. You the first ever mineral resource was calculated, was derived through your hard work on your property, the great Klondike Gold property. Tell us a little bit about what is your resource. Give us some idea of what percentage of your total project, let's say target area has been explored to date.
Well, just to step back, yes. The Klondike was discovered. Gold was discovered in the Klondike in 1896. And 125 years later, in November of 2022, we're the first ever to have any bedrock resource. There's been 20 million ounces of gold picked up on surface from creeks. And until now, nobody's been able to identify any source. And so I'm proud. Our team have done a great job. It's been for me, this is now, that was 8 years of work in for something that I thought would take much, much less time, to be honest. And, you know, historically, from a historic perspective, it's a long time coming for the Klondike to have any mineral resource. It's crazy because gold has been known, a huge endowment from a global perspective. It's one of the richest gold-bearing places on the planet. And, you know, finally we could document that there is gold in the bedrock. And so, yeah, we came out with, we started with a modest amount of gold. It's 580,000 ounces, primarily all indicated mineral resources within an open pit. So all 580,000 ounces are pit constrained, so potentially economic. And beyond that, we have other areas that are directly beside where our pits went that didn't make it into the resource. So we have extra stuff, which I guess you're going to ask me about that in the future anyway. And our property, it's, well, the geology wise, it's exactly like California and the California Mother Lode Belt. And our property, we own 600 square kilometers. It's about half of the California Mother Lode district in its entire size. If you think of all the mines that came out of California and divide that by two, that's the potential we have in our property. Direct potential, same stuff, same kind of gold endowment in California from surface placer mining as in the Klondike. And it's just, to me, kind of crazy. 125 years later, finally somebody's come found stuff. So 600,000 ounces, brand new, and we know what we're now looking for. So it's really, really good.
You've sort of learned to know the structural controls, I guess, over this period of time, which allows you to put down the drill more efficiently going forward. And talk to us a little bit, though, about the footprint of this resource, this 600,000-ounce resource you're talking about. Very small area, the percentage of the total target.
And, yeah, maybe 2 square miles, I think, encompasses both of our zones. The Lone Star Zone and the Standard Zone is what we built this resource on. 95% came from of the gold is contained within the Lone Star Zone, which was the first thing we discovered and is absolutely, I've said this on your radio show previously, it's not the best. We knew it, but it was the first, and that's received the bulk of the work. And then the other zone, the Standard Zone, we included because we drilled two small portions of it to the extent where we could actually produce a mineral resource. And there's, you know, the Standard Zone is wide open. In point of fact, we drilled it in 2022. Those results are not reflected in the mineral resource, but we think the Standard Zone is bigger and longer than Lone Star. And anyway, everything is wide open. We have an enormous potential just in those zones. We've made another discovery this year at Gay Gulch, which has no resources, mineral resources yet, but we drilled it this year, and we think that something could come out of that. And that, those are all 2.5 square miles. Those represent the sources for two of the 18 really big productive placer creeks in the Klondike that are known historically. Mm-hmm. And so basically we know that there's a source in every creek, and the faults that control the Standard Zone, the Lone Star Zone, extend the entire length of our district property, which is 35 miles or more. They're mineralized along their length, and those cut those other creeks. And so we just, there's an enormous amount of work to do, and it's a huge area. We own it all. That's a curse in one way because we don't have competitors helping us work and find stuff.
Yeah,
but it's an opportunity because I in my corporate presentations, I give these talks where I compare the Mother Lode to Klondike, and on the same metrics, we're looking for 50 million ounces of gold surface, and we've found 500,000 so far. And so there's a lot of upside that exists for us. I'm super excited, if you can tell. It's like Yeah, this is a world-class district that we're discovering.
All right, so what are you planning to do in 2023 to increase that, and how much do you think you can increase your resource? What's your sort of goal, your target in 2023?
A 3-year plan of being able to double and redouble the resource that we currently have. And basically, with the information we have in hand, that the first double is quite easy. We have indications of that already, and so it takes not a great amount of work to do. And most of that will be based on the drilling and surface work we did in 2022, for which assays are about to come in the next month or so. And so when we go to work in 2023, we'll be working on the redouble. And that's the objective here really is to get at least above 1.5 million ounces in total, but really 2 to 4 is big numbers you can possibly get. But at something north of 2 million ounces, that's where other companies in our immediate area have been taken out by majors, and they've both in both cases those have paid $100 an ounce for every resource ounce in the ground. So I mean, you're going from currently we're a 12 million US market cap, 15 million Canadian, at 2 million ounces in the ground at $100 an ounce. There's quite a lot of room for improvement from our share price perspective, paid in cash. So there's a lot of upside.
Yeah, there's upside, and as I understand it, basically what you're doing is just really looking at the near surface potential right now, because that's the cheapest, obviously. These orogenic systems, which is what you have, a very, very large one, those things run to great depths. So I guess the strategy, though, for now is to build ounces on surface, and then maybe at some point in the future, let the big boys do the deep stuff. Or what are your thoughts?
Well, that's so that I mean that's one of the great leaps forward that we've just done is proven, and we have academics also working. We've got a lot of academic research happening now, but proven that this is an orogenic gold deposit. And then the question is, where are you? Because orogenic gold deposit, it looks different when it's formed at surface than it does at depth. And one question was, if it is orogenic, is it all eroded away? Like, is it only eroded down to the roots? Well, what we know now is that the entire 4 or 5 kilometer vertical is all preserved. There's been no erosion. And so that's why there's gold on surface. Is we're right at the top where all the gold is in little broad veinlets and zones like that. And so we have those high-grade chutes exist, but we have all the depth potential there, as well as 35 kilometers of strike. And yeah, there's just too much. There's great potential. Even when I do presentations to majors now, that's really what I'm saying. So whoever takes this project on and mines it systematically, rather than exploring it, what we're doing. It's a 50-year project. It's suitable for a major. It's credible to a major, and it's just a huge potential and a world-class endowment. We're proving that there's actually something substantive here.
When you and I spoke recently, I think last year sometime, you might have talked about the possibility of some early production. Is that still something that you're looking to do, or is that off the table for now?
We went ahead and tried to permit it. We have a permit to mine and process, but that permit lacks the ability to crush. And what we did test work this year trying to basically do some cheap, fast, quick revenue. And what we realized was that we needed to crush the rocks. And our permit, that's something that we lack. We permitted it as if it was a placer mine. And it doesn't work as a placer mine trying to mine stuff from surface. So that's a, I mean, it was kind of Mickey Mouse in a way, but we do still have the permit itself allows us to construct mine haul roads and all the infrastructure we need. It's useful, which is kind of why I really did it. But quick mining, no, probably not. Although we'll still keep looking at it, and we're going to apply for a crushing permit as well.
You know, I've been around this business long enough to know that very few junior exploration companies are not sorry when they tried to build a mine. Most of them have, I think. It's
No,
difficult.
I've seen it as well. I agree with you. It's something that I was not really emphasizing because, too many companies get in the world of hurt for doing things like that.
Yeah, different skill set and stick to your knitting, and you're an exploration geologist. So that's probably where you'll provide the best value to your shareholders. If you can prove up a couple of 3, 4, 5 million ounces of gold, Peter, I think your shareholders who buy at 8 cents are going to be very pleased. What might they be looking for that could lift them off of 8 cents up to, you know, a quarter or 50 cents or something like that this year, possibly? What drivers might there be?
Right away. So that right now or over the next month or so, we're going to receive the results from 2022 because we don't have them yet. And for one, the first thing we found at Gay Gulch, it's a new zone. It's not part of our mineral resource inventory. Some visibly, you know, some beautiful, it's a fault breccia vein full of gold. And as a result of that, it also changed. It helps with the orogenic model, but it also changed our exploration targeting. So we drill Gay Gulch. And so the surface work and then the drill holes there, and they were visually appealing. And then we drilled the Standard Zone. So from our two resource areas, the Lone Star Zone, as I said, was 95% of the resource, but it's half the grade of the Standard Zone.
Uh-huh.
And we have two little tiny pits only in that. And we drilled, there's a half a kilometer gap between the pits. So we drilled it, and we drilled around it and along it. And that's where the bulk of the expansion to the mineral resource will come from. And those holes visually look appealing as well. So I'm comfortable thinking that we're going to get some, you know, reasonable results out of all of that. Taken together, though, that puts us a long way towards doubling our resource right off the bat. So if we have holes that hit every time we hit from now on, basically it adds ounces to our resource. And that's accretive directly. It's not exploration so much anymore. It's a game of adding ounces to a number.
Yeah, shallow drill holes. So how much drilling do you expect to do in 2023, and how well funded are you to carry that out?
We are raising money now, and we will continue to raise, as I typically do, that raise money for the year in between January and March. Last year, well, typically we're drilling 5 to 7 to 8,000 meters per year in between 50 and 80 drill holes. I just calculated it, interestingly enough, our average for the 50,000 meters of drilling we've done to date, it averages to be 50 vertical meters. So like 170 feet deep is the average vertical depth of everything, of every single hole we've drilled. So all the gold is sitting at surface. That's great. Orogenic gold systems go to kilometers deep, miles deep, same thing. And we have lots of potential in that direction, but the effort has been going back to that first thing. It's to prove to the world, after 125 years, there actually is gold in the bedrock here, and the endowment is huge.
Yeah.
So we've done that, and now we can start pegging off all these zones and establishing resources for our shareholders.
Very good. Well, I guess we'll keep our eyes open for the news that's coming out. Last year's drill results, this year's action. You'll start your program this year. I don't know, what's somewhere around May.
May. Yeah, May.
And you can go how late?
November. Tried, we've been able to start in March, and one year, but again, depends on the snow. And this year it's been it'll be May this year.
May or June. Okay, great. Well, this is, I think, a great story. If you like to buy high and sell low, well, you're not interested in this one, but I think if you like to buy low, sell high. I think the prospects are very good for doing that, I believe. So I have stuck with it, Peter, in my newsletter. I think I look back at 2015 when I first added you to my letter, and here we are. It's been, as you say, longer than you had hoped and you had expected, but that's life. But it looks like payday could be maybe not that far away right now. So I want to thank you very much for spending the time to update us on this story. It's great. One more thing. If you're raising money, is it open to accredited investors, or are you doing it through the, And if people are interested, they should just contact your office, I suppose.
Yep. Email me or info@klondikegoldcorp.com. It is open to accredited investors. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Peter. We'll certainly be keeping up with your story going forward this year. It's great to have you again.